Argument, United States v. Hall. Mr. Cody or Ms. Cody, I can't tell from the first name.
Good morning, Your Honors. Angel Cody from the Federal Defender Program on behalf of Mr. Hall. This case illustrates, Your Honors, that a revisionist view of the record does not make for good judicial decision-making. It's the government's efforts to rewrite the sentencing record and that the district court allowed and that Mr. Hall now appeals. The record was clear. Mr. Hall never admitted in his plea agreement. The government never argued at sentencing. The PSR never concluded. And importantly, the district court never found that at least 4.5 kilograms of crack are attributable to him.
What about that paragraph 5 of the plea agreement where he says he admits the following facts prove his guilt beyond a reasonable doubt? And if you add up the quantities, it's several times 4.5 kilograms of crack.
Not necessarily, Your Honor. First of all, the language of the plea agreement is very important. It says that from about 1998 to 1999, the defendant sold 0.25 kilograms of crack per month. Now, we know from the record that he was incarcerated from January to April of 1998, which leaves about 4 or 8 months for him to distribute 0.25 kilograms. So that's 2 kilos, taking the figures that are given in that language, from 1998 or April to the end of through 1999. But then that second sentence where it says that the defendant sold 1 to 2 kilograms of powder and crack cocaine every month, it's an amalgamated admission. It doesn't indicate how much crack cocaine he was selling during this period of time. So, you know, plausibly, one interpretation of this language in the plea agreement is that he was selling primarily cocaine powder and some crack cocaine. The question is not...
Why primarily? Why primarily...
But that is the point, Your Honor. The issue... Our position is that the issue is not whether there's a reasonable interpretation either way of how much crack versus powder cocaine he was selling. The error that the district court made is that it made a new interpretation that was untimely based upon this language. So,
yeah,
for example...
It was based on the same... He didn't find any new facts. He made a conclusion based on facts that... Already before him, didn't he?
No, Your Honor. He did find new facts. In the plea agreement, or in the judgment, the statement of reasons that was attached to the judgment that the district court made, it says that the court adopts the pre-sentence report and guideline applications without change. Now, we know from the pre-sentence report, all that's included in there is that Mr. Hall...
No, but these new conclusions are deductions from those same findings, aren't they?
No, they're not, Your Honor, because these new conclusions on their face are erroneous because Mr. Hall was incarcerated for a substantial portion of the time that the district court concluded that he was participating in the street-level conspiracy. And in addition to that, the court makes a number of inferences that are not supported on the face by the language of the plea agreement. The court infers that Mr. Hall was selling 1 to 2 kilograms of crack cocaine from 1999 to 2000. That is not stated in the plea agreement. That is an inference that the court made that perhaps at sentencing, if the government had took that position and sought that particular finding, it would have been permissible. But in a 3582C proceeding where the court can only transplant in that new amended guideline range and not make these new clarifications or findings, that is what amounted to the error here.
Yeah, but then according to PSR, he bought between 1 and 2 kilos of powder cocaine each month, some of which he cooked into crack, and some of which he sold as powder. Now, that amounts up to, I don't know what the total is. That's given here somewhere, but it amounts up to something over 20 to 40 of either powder or crack. And if you're using it in that way, isn't it highly probable that it exceeds 4.5 kilos of crack?
But the question, Your Honor, is not whether that is a reasonable or probable interpretation.
Why isn't it? I mean, if it's reasonable, isn't that all the judge has to find is what's reasonably probable? He doesn't have to find it's mathematically certain, does he?
At sentencing, Your Honor, but at a 3582C proceeding, Guideline 1B1.10 makes very clear that you cannot make those kinds of new findings. Certainly at sentencing, what the court did in its order would have been appropriate. But at that procedural juncture, at a 3582C proceeding, the court could not do that. The court could only look at its prior findings and determine from those prior findings whether Mr. Hall was eligible for the two-point reduction. And this position is not new to the government. The government took that exact position in a case that was recently decided by this court, United States versus Cunningham. In Cunningham, the question was whether defendants could get more than the two-point reduction. And the government argued successfully before this court that because 3582C proceedings are limited and because the court could not go back and redetermine facts from the sentencing record, defendants were not eligible for more than 2 points.
How about his application of 3553? That was another basis for doing this.
In this case, Your Honor,
the
district court could not say that this was he otherwise would have denied the two-point reduction because in this unique circumstance, this was a plea agreement that was an 11C1C plea agreement. That means that the government and Mr. Hall were contractually bound to receive, he was contractually entitled to a certain sentence. And that sentence, according to the language...
The judge has to agree to it, though, doesn't he?
Yes, and the judge did when he accepted the 11C1C plea agreement. The minute
but
that...
But does that mean your client wants to withdraw from the plea agreement?
No, he does not, Your Honor. Our position is that the plea agreement, the terms must be... they must be abided by. Specifically, in the plea agreement, it says that the court shall, not may, but shall impose a sentence that is 50% of the low end of the applicable guideline range. Now, we know here that the applicable guideline range changed after Amendment 706. Once the district court judge accepted that plea agreement, he was required to impose that sentence. So even at sentencing, under an 11C1C plea agreement, the 3553 factors don't impact the sentence. There was a contractual term in the plea agreement that required that he
But the reduction, of the sentence as a result of the change from the 1.5 to the 4.5, isn't that discretionary with the judge?
Not in this unique and narrow circumstance where we have an 11C1C plea agreement where the parties have agreed that Mr. Hall was entitled to a specific sentence. Perhaps in other circumstances where we don't have an 11C1C with that specific term, but here there's a contract. So to the extent that Mr. Hall was eligible for that two-point reduction, which he was based upon the record before the sentencing court, the court was bound to impose the sentence under the terms of this 11C1C plea agreement.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Milan.
May it please the court, I'm Bob Milan on behalf of the United States. The district court Hall case did not commit clear error when it...
I think you do have a problem getting up to 4.5 kilograms because I'm looking at, you know, this paragraph 5 of the plea agreement. So the crack he sold from 1988 to April 1990, that was the dime bags. That was very small. Anyway, it's not clear that it contained crack. And so from 1998 to 1999, sold about one quarter kilograms per month. Now, what is the actual interval? Because from 1998 to 99, it could be 2 years. From beginning of 98 to 99, it could be a day, you know, from December 31st, 98 to January 1st, 99. So what do we know about the actual interval?
What we know is the district court focuses on the time period from 1999 through August of 2008, where the defendant admits.
No. I'm talking about 1998 to 1999. And what is that interval? Is it 2 days, or is it 1 day, or is it 2 years?
That particular interval is not clear in the plea agreement.
Okay, but when we go beyond that, from 1999 to 2000, it says sold 1 to 2 kilograms of powder and crack cocaine every month. Well, how do we know how much of that is crack and how much is powder?
Because it says 1 to 2 kilograms of powder and crack cocaine every month.
Yeah, but it's unclear whether that means that 1 to 2 kilograms of powder and 1 to 2 kilograms of crack, or 1 to 2 kilograms of some combination, some powder and some crack. How can we tell which it means?
Well, the case law gives the district court, great discretion in going back at 3582C2 motions.
And the dis- what?
To go back and reevaluate what the record was at the time of sentencing. And in this case, in the Hall case,
I don't understand the record. You have a plea agreement. Doesn't that bind? Isn't that what determines how many kilograms of crack there were?
No, as a matter of fact, the district court at the end of the day determines.
He determined 1.5. What basis did he have in the record and consistent with the plea agreement to go from 1.5 to 4.5?
When it says from 1999 to August 2008, the defendant sold 1 to 2 kilograms of powder and crack cocaine every month.
Well, where does the judge say that that means 1 to 2 kilograms of crack?
In his opinion and order, when he went back at the 3582C motion, he made that determination when he ruled 20 that at the end of the day it would be.
Where is that? Where he discusses that?
When he rules that it would be 20.
Where does he discuss that?
We took that.
Where does he discuss that?
He doesn't specifically discuss that, Your Honor.
Well, doesn't the PSR say that he bought powder to make crack?
He does. It does.
Well, how does that gel with the idea that he bought 1.5 kilos of each?
The district court looked at and focused on the time period from 99 through August 2000. Let's just take the year 2000. Suppose it said from January 1st of 2000 through August of 2000, the defendant sold 1 to 2 kilos of crack and powder every month.
Yes, but you're not answering the question. How do we know that this means 1 to 2 kilograms of powder and 1 to 2 kilograms of crack rather than 1 to 2 kilograms of both together?
Your Honor, the record doesn't specifically break it down that way.
Then how do we know? If the judge said, look, I've read this, I know what it means. I know it means he sold 1 to 2 kilograms of powder and crack separately. As Judge Cudahy mentioned, if his business was to cook the powder into crack, then he wouldn't be selling the powder separately. So then the judge might say, well, that was all crack. But no, it says he sold powder. So that's what. Just puzzled how much of each, and what the judge said about that. It's an ambiguity in the plea agreement. So did he disambiguate it by saying, "I know what this means"?
I believe that's exactly what he did. I believe he said
that, that
when he did the math and came up with the numbers 23 to 43.
Where does he do that?
He specifically doesn't do that, Your Honor.
Well, what do you mean specifically? What does that mean? In other words, we don't know what he did. Maybe he just was guessing that, well, if it was 1 and 2, it was 1 to 2 kilograms of both, well, probably there was enough crack in there to add up to 3. I guess it needs 2.5, whatever you need. Really need 4.5 since we don't know how much he sold from 1998 to 1999. Now, what about Ms. Cody's argument that that 3553A isn't relevant here because the deal was he would get a sentence based on the guideline range. And the only way the judge can change that is to make a finding that there were more than 4.5 kilograms, right? So,
well, at the original plea agreement silent to a 3582C2 motion. It doesn't speak to such a motion. But clearly under 3582C2, under the statute, it says the judge may reduce the sentence, which leaves it to the discretion.
Does the plea agreement say he shall sentence a certain way?
Well, under 7M, paragraph 7M of the plea agreement, it says that the district court decides the quantity in regards to the sentencing of this defendant.
May, 35, shall. Yeah. You're saying that 3553 says may.
Under 3582.
May and a shall. How do we deal with that?
3582C2 allows the district court discretion when it says he may reduce the sentence in accordance with the 3553A measures.
No, but your opponent says the plea agreement made a deal and it uses the word shall. And therefore the judge can't change the deal.
The plea agreement does not deal with a potential 3582C2 motion. Nor would it.
Well, not explicitly, that's true, but
in reality, it never would, Your Honor. A plea agreement wouldn't deal with that type of motion that it couldn't foresee.
If the plea agreement says something shall happen, that doesn't affect 3553 at all, because he didn't explicitly put that in the agreement.
And the district court under 3582C2 has the discretion to sentence appropriately.
You're saying that the government can't make a deal with the defendant which says that, if our deal is you get X years, and if the judge gives you something different, then the plea agreement is void? Can't they do that?
The judge could void the plea agreement.
Isn't that what you have here?
No.
Where does the plea agreement allow the judge to make a 3553A judgment that's different from what's in the plea agreement?
The government and the defense entered into a plea agreement, which the government kept. All right? The government kept the original plea agreement. The defense then, the amendment kicks in, the amendment takes place, the defendant then files the 3582C2 motion. At that point in time, the judge absolutely has the discretion to lower the sentence or not, if it finds the defendant is even eligible for the 3582C2 motion. In this case, the district court found this defendant was not eligible for the matters that we previously discussed. The district court went farther in this case, though. It said even if this amendment were to kick in, and I still wouldn't lower this defendant's sentence because of the 3553A matters. It specifically talks about the large quantity of cocaine involved in this case, the past criminal conduct of this defendant, the need to deter these types of crimes, the importance of protecting the public from this criminal conduct, this defendant's need for rehabilitation. The district court in Hall said even if this amendment did affect this sentence, which it did not, this district court still wanted to reduce this defendant's sentence.
So is there I see. So you're saying that because of 3582C, there's no way the plea agreement can tie the judge's hands. Is that what you're saying?
At the end of the day, that's what I'm saying.
What do you mean, the end of the day? Is that what you're saying or not saying?
I am saying that. Yes, that's what I'm saying, Your Honor.
I just wanted to clarify
you're
what
saying,
you're saying.
You're saying the first time around, His hands are tied, apparently, but the, if there's an amendment and it comes up a second time, his hands aren't tied.
What I'm saying is once the defense files the 3582C2 motion, that gives the district court the discretion to reduce or not to reduce the sentence.
Well, and what you're saying is it gives it allows him to consider factors under 3553A, which were not part of the plea agreement.
It does.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Cody? So what do you say about Mr. Milan's last point, which is a potential killer?
Well, Your Honor, even if his point were valid in theory, if you look at what the district court said in its 3553 analysis, it says the very large quantities of crack cocaine involved. So, and that brings us back to the first issue. The district court erred when it made those conclusions or findings with regard to the very large quantities of crack cocaine involved. So, you know, even if theoretically the district court could have gotten to the 3553 factors, which it should not have gotten to, the reasoning is circular because it says, I would have denied this motion anyway, given the very large quantities of crack involved.
He's not limited to considering just crack if it's under 3553A, is he?
No.
And the quantities under this paragraph 5 are substantial.
Which is that's the issue. Could the court go back and recalculate those crack quantities, which it did? And our position is that that was error. That exceeded the court's statutory authority. And
well, you're saying that his error about crack infected his application of the 3553A factors. Is that correct?
Precisely, Your Honor.
But where does he say that?
It's on page 7 of the court's order. It's also, it's the second to last page of the court's order, last sentence.
I'm not finding that. Where is that in your brief?
It is, Your Honor.
Where I can't find. What's the page number in your brief?
Appendix 6.
Page A7 in our brief.
A7?
Yeah, Appendix 7.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. All right. So you're saying when he says the very large quantities of crack cocaine involved, that he's... That assumes the 4.5 kilograms. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, Your Honor. It assumes the error did infect even the 3553 analysis. It assumes this it was proper for him to do that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Cody. And you were appointed. Oh, well, you're a defender. So we thank you very much for your vigorous efforts on behalf of the clients.